Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 17, text number 1. No, sorry, 2. 2. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Trividha Bhavati Shraddha Dehinang Saswabhavaja Satviki Rajasi Chaiva Tamasi Cheti Tang Shrinu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, according to the modes of nature acquired by the embodied soul, one's faith can be of three kinds, in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance. Now hear about these. Purport. Those who know the rules and regulations of the scriptures, but out of laziness or indolence, give up following these rules and regulations, are governed by the modes of material nature. According to their previous activities, in the mode of goodness, passion or ignorance, they acquire a nature which is of a specific quality. The association of the living entity with the different modes of nature has been going on perpetually. Since the living entity is in contact with material nature, he acquires different types of mentality according to his association with the material modes. But this nature can be changed if one associates with a bona fide spiritual master and abides by his rules and the scriptures. Gradually one can change his position from ignorance to goodness, or from passion to goodness. The conclusion is that blind faith in a particular mode of nature cannot help a person become elevated to the perfectional stage. One has to consider things carefully, with intelligence, in the association of a bona fide spiritual master. Thus one can change his position to a higher mode of nature.
சாஸ்திரங்களின் சட்டத்திட்டங்களை அறிந்தும் சோம்பேறித்தனத்தினால் அந்த சட்டத்திட்டங்களை பின்பற்றாமல் இருப்பவர்கள் ஜட இயற்கையின் குணங்களால் ஆளப்படுகின்றனர். சத்வ ரஜோகுண தமோகுணத்தின் அடிப்படையிலான தங்களது முந்தைய செயல்களின்படி அவர்கள் ஒரு குறிப்பிட்ட சுபாவத்தை அடைகின்றனர். இயற்கையின் பல்வேறு குணங்களுடனான ஆத்மாவின் உறவு பன்னெண்டு காலமாக இருந்து வருகின்றது. ஜட இயற்கையுடன் ஆத்மா தொடர்புள்ள காலத்திலிருந்து அதன் குணங்களுடனான தனது உறவுக்கு ஏற்ப அவன் பல்வேறு விதமான மனோநிலைகளை அடைகின்றான். ஆனால் அங்கீகாரம் பெற்ற ஆன்மீகர்களுடன் தொடர்பு கொண்டு அவரது விதிகளுக்கு உட்பட்டு வாழ்ந்தால் இந்த நிலையை மாற்ற முடியும். படிப்படியாக தமோகுணத்திலிருந்து சத்துவகுணத்திற்கு அல்லது ரஜோகுணத்திலிருந்து சத்துவகுணத்திற்கு ஒருவன் தனது நிலையை மாற்றிக்கொள்ள முடியும். முடிவு என்னவெனில், இயற்கையின் ஒரு குறிப்பிட்ட குணத்தின் மீது உள்ள குருட்டு நம்பிக்கை பக்குவமான நிலைக்கு முயற்சி தர ஒருவனுக்கு உதவாது. அங்கீகரிக்கப்பட்ட ஆன்மீக குருவின் உறவில் விஷயங்களை புத்தியுடன் அவன் கவனமாக ஏற்றுக்கொள்ள வேண்டும். இவ்வாறு அவன் தன்னுடைய நிலையை இயற்கையின் உயர்ந்த குணத்திற்கு மாற்றிக்கொள்ள முடியும்.
From the context in which Krishna speaks, and from the purports of Srila Prabhupada in this section, it is clear that the word Shraddha used in this chapter, the subject of this chapter is Shraddha, is not merely simple faith. But as Srila Prabhupada in this purport uses the word mentality, and in a more modern term, we could say worldview. Or one's whole outlook on everything governed by his basic beliefs. I was reading recently the generalization that Western society, the general outlook tends to be rational. I didn't say it, but maybe it'd be more accurate to say that they aspire to be rational. I don't know what kind of rationality invented Mickey Mouse. Then the Indian outlook tends to be mystical. And the Chinese outlook tends to be pragmatic. So, I mean, there are definitely different lenses through which people judge everything around them. Different perspectives, drishtikon
in Hindi.
Just like, for instance, Marxism was a prominent theory of the 20th century. And Marxist interpretation of history and everything, and sociology, everything, was one of class struggle. Similarly, a feminist ideology, which is very prominent in the world at the present time. Interprets all of human history, or what they consider to be human history, according to their own theories. In terms of male exploitation of females. Many Christians, they see the world through the eyes that the world is a battleground between the forces of Satan and godliness. With Satan appearing to have the upper hand. But don't worry, because soon Jesus is coming. You've all heard that, right? Jesus is coming. And he'll kick all those damn Hindus into hell where they deserve to stay forever. I guess they'll go too. And they really believe it. That's why many Christians say, well, we don't have to worry about the ecological destruction of the earth, because anyway, Jesus is coming soon and the world's going to end. So what does it matter if we mess up the whole earth? So what we believe very much influences everything we do, our goals in life, how we deal with others, how we view others. Certain people say, well, this business of belief, it's all nonsense anyway. We should just be scientific and rational. But that outlook is also based on the belief. Everything can be explained in scientific and so-called rational terms. On the belief, which doesn't seem to have much evidence to support it, that man is a rational animal. And the belief that what they have is not a belief, it's just intelligent. So generally, whatever beliefs people have, they try to bring others to that same kind of belief. Otherwise, they have the attitude, live and let live. Let everyone all live together and peacefully, and it doesn't matter what you believe. Which might be a nice idea. But it doesn't work when someone else believes that we have to convert you by any means whatsoever. If we say that let everyone practice their own belief without any interference by anyone else, without interfering with each other, well, someone else will say, well, our belief is to interfere with you. We have one hand here, a book. So you either accept this book, or you accept in the other hand is a gun, and you get shot in the head. So what do you want to choose? So it doesn't leave much room for live and let live. Or interfaith dialogue. So this topic of belief outlook is discussed in some detail here in Bhagavad Gita. Why people have such strong beliefs is described by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. In relation to belief in demigods. Yo yo yang yang tanung bhakta shraddhaya chitam icchati tasya tasya chalang shraddham tameva vididhamyaham. Krishna says, whichever demigod anyone desires to have faith in, then I make the faith of that person very strong. So also in Gita we have Krishna similarly stating how he affects the psychological disposition. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matah smriti jnanam apohanamcha. Krishna says, I am situated in everyone's heart, and from me comes a knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. Because we, a human being cannot live in a state of perpetual mental flux. Well, in one sense he does, but perpetual conceptual flux. Let's change it to that. I don't think I can say it in Tamil, but good luck. So, I wouldn't have a clue how to say it in Hindi or Bengali. Siddhantic parinam sadaiva siddhantic parinamika vasta, I guess. Would anyone understand what you're talking about? In English, if you say it, people can understand. You can't live in a state of perpetual conceptual flux. It means you can't live without having some idea of how this world runs on. Even if that idea is wrong. For instance, I just saw on the Sri Internet Shastra that 10% of, estimated that 10% of the people, I can't remember whether it was in America or the world, believe that the world will end on the 21st of December 2012, which means there's not much time left. What day is it? Today is the 20th of December, and tomorrow it's all finished. So if you like Sarkar Pongal, you better eat as much as you can today. Of course, anyone who's like myself, almost 56 years old and has been tuned into the news for most of those years, knows that it's been quite a few times that the end of the world has been coming in the last 55 years or so. And if you ever thought that such predictions might be true, well, you kind of lose faith in them. Oh, many people, like that. They think that, well, people don't believe the same thing as me because they're influenced by Satan, they're evil. If you think, well, I'm right, what I believe in is right, if people don't believe in what I believe in, then they must be evil. They must be influenced by some evil force. Which is a very simplistic and self-righteous outlook. But it helps people to go along from day to day.
ஆனா இத்தகைய எண்ணமாக ஒருத்தவங்கள ஒரு நாள் ஒரு நாள் அவங்களுடைய வாழ்க்கை அன்றாட வாழ்க்கைக்கு அவங்க கழிக்கிறதுக்கு உதவு.
Otherwise, if you wake up in the morning and before you get up and start brushing your teeth, you start thinking, well, do I really exist or not?
இல்லை அப்படின்னா நீங்க காலையில் எழுந்திருக்கிறீங்கன்னு சொன்னேன், காலையில் எழுந்திரிச்சு பல்லு விளக்கிறது முன்னாடி நீங்க யோசிக்க ஆரம்பிக்கிறீங்க, நான் உண்மையிலேயே வாழ்றேனா இல்லையா?
And such questions,
அந்த மாதிரியான கேள்விகளை கேட்டோம் அப்படின்னா,
you just can't really get on with life in a very practical kind of way. And although such philosophizing might be intellectually attractive, it doesn't help to get the idlis on the plate in the morning.
இது மாதிரி தத்துவபூர்வமா கேள்வி கேட்கறது அப்படிங்கிறது கொஞ்சம் நமக்கு புத்தி புத்திபூர்வமா நமக்கு திருப்தி விடுற மாதிரி இருக்கலாம், ஆனா காலையில தட்டுல நமக்கு இட்லி வர்றதுக்கு அது உதவாது.
You have to do some work. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita. Sharira yatra pi cha te na prasiddhyada karmanaha. You can't even maintain the body without doing some kind of work. So if you get a job, you're supposed to hammer nails into some wood, for instance. And the boss tells you, okay, hammer these nails. You can't say, well, what do you mean by a nail? Are you sure that really exists or is not just an illusion? You can't live life like that. You have to have some way of thinking. So mostly people have a very simplistic worldview. Such as there's true believers and everyone else is influenced by Satan. Or many people, they try not to think about all these things at all. And if you ask them to say, don't bother me with all of that. We just, I go to work, I bring some money, I come home, I watch TV, and what else is there? Here in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna offers, if you want to take a philosophical analysis, you can say it's certainly more sophisticated than these simplistic ideas that there's everyone's either right or they're wrong. Either you're a Christian or you're an unbeliever. It's much more nuanced and subtle. The people have different outlooks according to the influence of the modes of nature.
மக்கள் ஒவ்வொருத்தருக்கும் பலதரப்பட்ட எண்ணங்கள் இருக்கிறதுக்கு காரணம் ஒவ்வொருத்தரும் பலதரப்பட்ட குணங்களோடு இருக்கிறாங்க.
So that, for instance, people who are mostly influenced by sattva guna, they do not like to harm animals. Whereas people in tamaguna, either they're not bothered at all by harming animals, or they actually think it's quite fun to do so. What does it matter? They're just animals.
So.
So these are different outlooks under the different modes of nature. Krishna talks about different kinds of belief. Under the modes of nature. But he exhorts Arjuna to come to the platform beyond the modes of material nature. Beyond belief, to understand what is the actual nature of reality. Generally, people think that, well, religion is just some faith, that's all. Science tells us what's actually true. But religion is a faith. Whenever Srila Prabhupada was asked, that's the standard question you ask a religious person, what do you believe? Whenever Prabhupada was asked that, he would say, it is not a matter of belief, it is a fact, it is a science. And Srila Prabhupada would proceed to explain that there is a living force by which we call the body alive.
Srila Prabhupada அதை தொடர்ந்து விளக்கம் கொடுப்பார். இந்த உடலுக்குள்ளார ஒரு உயிர் சக்தி இருக்கு. அந்த உயிர் சக்தி இருக்கிறதுனாலதான் உடலானது உயிரோடு இருக்குன்னு நம்ம சொல்றோம்.
That what we call a living body is only living because of the presence of the soul.
உயிரோடு இருக்கக்கூடிய உடல் நாம எதை சொல்றோமோ அந்த உடலானது உயிரோடு இருக்கிறதுக்கு காரணம் உள்ள ஆத்மா இருக்கிறது தான் விளக்குவார்.
And that we cannot deny that we are all controlled. There are so many factors which we have no choice about whatsoever. The kind of body that we have, you can modify it to some extent, but not wholesale. The fact that we are forced to suffer old age, disease, and death. We cannot control the weather. The United States of America for the last few years has been suffering all kinds of storms, hurricanes, tornadoes, and it's just getting worse, more and more and worse and worse and worse. For all their science and technology, they cannot control nature. So Srila Prabhupada would point out that we are controlled. Therefore we should understand there is a controller. That controller is God. We should try to understand who God is. Different religions talk about God, but they have no factual information about Him. But in Krishna consciousness, we have so much information about Him and about how our relationship with Him, and about how to re-establish our relationship with Him. So Srila Prabhupada presented Krishna consciousness in a very scientific and rational way, especially in the Western world, where people pride themselves or they're in the illusion that they have a scientific and rational outlook. And no one could defeat Prabhupada. In India, Srila Prabhupada, he preached more on a shastric basis. That if we have to accept Shastra, and the conclusion of Shastra is that we have to surrender to Krishna because He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Srila Prabhupada was very convincing. As an acharya, he presented knowledge of the absolute truth in a manner that others could not refute it. So, why didn't people accept it? Of course, some people accepted it, but many more didn't. If Srila Prabhupada's presentation was scientific and rational to people who believe in science and rationality, then why didn't they accept it? And using Shastric evidence among Hindus who are supposed to believe in Shastra, Srila Prabhupada established that we should all surrender to Krishna. So why didn't everyone just accept what Prabhupada said? Because they didn't want to. They're attached to their way of thinking. They came in contact with Prabhupada, but they're not looking for the truth. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatiti siddhaye. Out of thousands of people, someone is actually interested in understanding the truth. Not many. People, they prefer just to remain in their own little boxed in way of understanding. So that even if you demonstrate in all ways that what people think is right is wrong, still they generally prefer to think in the same way. For instance, the late and not lamented by us at least, so-called Satya Sai Baba, there was for years there were exposés on him.
அவர் அவருடைய செயல்களை வந்து பல நேரங்களில்
That his so-called mystical feats, for instance, materialization of watches from the air, it was simply some tricks, magic tricks. That in the folds of, it was captured on video, that in the folds of his cloth he had some watch, and that like this he would, it looked that he was just getting it out of air, but actually it came from inside his shirt pocket. And worse still, evidence came out that he was a pedophile. He sexually abused young boys. I saw a documentary on this. This is when Satya Sai Baba had not at that time gone to Yamaloka. In which there was an American devotee, if you want to call it that, of Sai Baba. And he was interviewed, and he was actually a multi-millionaire, and he was like a major donor to Sai Baba's projects. So, at least in business, he was a very intelligent person. But he was asked that, you know, there's all this evidence that these so-called mystic powers, it's all just some magic tricks, that he's of the very worst character. Why do you still accept him? And he said, well, I don't care what anyone says. As far as I'm concerned, he's God. No intelligent answer. Just absolute blind faith. Yeah. So people believe what they want to believe. And that's there in all spheres. For instance, some people even today in the Catholic Church, they believe that whatever the Pope says must be right. Whereas other Christians, they believe that the Pope is a representative of Satan. Many, you know that? Many Christians. Protestant, the whole Protestant faith began on the conviction that the Pope is a representative of Satan. So they have blind faith either that the Pope is against, he's a representative of Jesus or a representative of Satan. If the representative of Satan means, first of all, they have blind faith that there is such a an entity as Satan. Similarly, in and around our ISKCON, there are some devotees who think that the GBC, the leaders of our society, they're all simply exploitive and materially motivated. And others think that they just can't listen to any criticism of them whatsoever. So both outlooks are very rigid and unthinking. Now, if we are stuck in if we have this kind of strong faith, which we just don't want it to be shaken in any way, then that will influence our whole way of thinking. So that we simply we like to believe some things. We consider to be facts the things that we like to believe in. And we reject as an impossibility things which we do not like to believe in. For instance, there are certain theories in science which scientists call scientific. For instance, that life originated or came into being by chance. The whole universe came into chance, and then after that, living beings came into being by chance. And to believe this is called science. And it's presented that science is something that we've actually ascertained by neutral observation. Although there is absolutely no actual evidence that the whole universe came into being by chance. Nor is there any actual evidence that life came into being by chance. Oh, I forgot. Not only did life come into being by chance, but it evolved from simple organisms to the present complex organisms that we see today. And even the ones we don't see, like microbes, which are also complex. So whatever appears to whatever apparent evidence is there to support these theories are eagerly accepted as being scientific discoveries. And whatever contradicts such theories, even though it's evidence, is not accepted as evidence. Their faults are found, they make so many faults in the methodology of the investigation. Or they just ignore it. Because scientists are also human beings. And they also have ways of, they also tend to see things in rigid terms. They have belief systems. They've already considered that, well, to have this kind of outlook is scientific. And we want to be scientific. So that anything that seems to contradict that, that can't be scientific. Although actually all the only great advances in science have only come because people stopped or they thought in a way outside the box, in contradiction to the accepted paradigms at the time. So we tend to accept information and ideas that bolsters our belief system. And we reject that which doesn't. And we accept, or we like to accept interpretations that we favor. Even you see, a court judge is supposed to be neutral. But he has to give judgment according to the law. And the law is framed according to the belief systems of the people who make the law. For instance, at least probably, yeah, quite some time into the 20th century, in Britain, homosexual activity was illegal. And one prominent intellectual called Oscar Wilde, he was imprisoned for homosexual activity. It would have been around the turn of the end of the 19th century. So the law is there. The judge examines all the evidence and then, okay, guilty, he has to go to prison. But nowadays in the same Britain, if you criticize homosexuality, you can be imprisoned. So the judge is supposed to be neutral, but he has to rule according to the laws which are made according to the belief systems of the lawmakers. And the judge is also influenced by the general ethos of the society all around him. And actually, everything in human society, as Krishna states in this section of Bhagavad Gita, is based on faith. Because there is truth and there's everything else. And to believe in something which is incorrect is faith. Or, to put it another way, it's cheating. We cheat ourselves and then we cheat others also. By giving false ideas. I mean, actually, there should be cheating cases made against. Probably this, someone tried to make some cheating case against Satya Sai Baba, but his political clout was too strong, I would guess. Possibly I could make a cheating case against the government of Britain for having educated me that the cell in the human body is a very simple organism, and very soon we'll be able to reproduce it in the laboratories. Which at the time scientists knew was not, at the time I was taught that in the standard biology textbook, scientists themselves knew that this was not true. But it takes time to rewrite the textbooks. And to re-educate the teachers. And in the meantime, they have to teach us science. Even if it's completely bogus. So maybe I could make a case. There could be millions of cheating cases. Because cheating is one of the ingrained propensities of conditioned souls. Brahm, Pramad, Vipralipta, Karanapathav. To be illusion, to make mistakes, to be illusioned, the cheating propensities, and to have imperfect senses are the ingrained defects of conditioned souls.
Pakkuvamatra kulangal, maayin vasapadudal, kavarilaindal, yemaatru kulam.
And we just take cheating for granted. That the we just expect politicians to cheat us. Advertising is all based on cheating. Promoting that such and such a product has got such and such qualities, which we know it doesn't have those qualities, but they advertise it like that and we buy it because we want to be cheated. People actually prefer cheating to truth. Because the truth is that we are very tiny living beings. And we're supposed to surrender to Krishna. But we would like to cheat ourselves into thinking, Ishvaroham aham bhogi. I'm in control of everything around here. I'm the enjoyer of everything. So we all cooperate in cheating each other. So who's Satan? We're all Satan. Who wants the truth? Very few. Of course, we get upset if we're cheated. There's a certain level of cheating which we can tolerate. But if we're too much cheated, then we get upset. But any cheating is wrong. But we're we're attached to that. And we even invent different philosophies by which we think we can be right. Some of the things, well, I'm a Christian, I'm right. Or I'm a Muslim, I'm right. I'm an atheist, I'm right. The United Nations Charter of Human Rights. United Nations Charter of Human Rights. Charter means like a declaration. Not American, United Nations. We hold it as self-evident that all human beings have an equal right to clothing, education, food, and all these kind of things. But that is not the Vedic outlook. Nor does it make any sense. Why should everyone be educated? If someone's going to be, well, everyone should be educated, yes. But it's not that everyone requires to have this formal education. Someone who's going to grow vegetables in the field, he can be shown by his father how to do that.
Yeah. காய்கறி விதைக்க போறாங்களோ அவங்க அவருடைய தந்தையினால எப்படி விதைக்கிறதுங்கிறத சொல்லி கொடுத்துருவாங்க.
He doesn't have to spend 10 or 15 years going to school to do that.
அதுக்காக வந்து பள்ளிக்கூடத்துக்கு போய் 10 வருஷம் 15 வருஷம் படிக்கணும்னு அவசியம் இல்லை.
These people are driving auto rickshaws. What is the need for them to spend 10, 15 years going to school when at the end of it they're going to drive an auto rickshaw?
மக்கள் நிறைய பேர் வந்து ஆட்டோ ரிக்ஷா ஓட்டுறாங்க. அவங்க வந்து கடைசியில் ஆட்டோ ரிக்ஷா ஓட்ட போறாங்க அப்படிங்கிற பட்சத்தில் அவங்க எதுக்கு 10-15 வருஷம் பள்ளிக்கூடத்துக்கு படிக்கணும்?
You may say, well, if they go to school, they'll have a better opportunity.
நீங்க சொல்லலாம், அவங்க பள்ளிக்கூடத்துக்கு போனாங்க அப்படின்னா அவங்களுக்கு பெரிய வாய்ப்பு காத்திருந்தேன்.
Well, for all the better opportunity, a lot of people end up driving auto rickshaws.
எவ்வளவுதான் பெரிய வாய்ப்பு இருந்தாலும் அவங்க எத்தனை பேர் ஆட்டோ ரிக்ஷா ஓட்டுறதுல முடியறாங்க வாழ்க்கையை.
So the Vedic understanding is to train boys who actually have good intelligence in intellectual matters.
வேத வழிமுறை எப்படின்னா யார் எந்த சிறுவர்களெல்லாம் ரொம்ப புத்திசாலிகளாக இருக்காங்களோ அவங்கள வந்து அந்த மாதிரி அந்த புத்திசாலித்தனமான செயல்களெல்லாம் அவங்களுக்கு பயிற்சி கொடுக்கணும்.
And those who are not inclined in that way to train them in another way.
அந்த இடத்துல யாருக்கு வந்து ஆர்வமாக இருக்காங்களோ அவங்கள வந்து எதிர ஆர்வம் இருக்காங்களோ அதுல அவங்களுக்கு பயிற்சி கொடுக்கணும்.
I remember myself at school, some of the boys, they just, you know, they're just making trouble in the class all the time because they hated being there.
எனக்கு ஞாபகம் இருக்கு, நான் பள்ளிக்கூடத்தில் படிக்கும்போது ஒரு சில மாணவர்கள் அவங்க வந்து எப்போ பார்த்தாலும் ஏதாவது பிரச்சனை பண்ணிட்டே இருப்பான், ஏன்னா அவங்க வந்து அங்கே படிக்கிறது அவங்க வந்து வெறுத்தாங்க.
As soon as legally possible, they left school and then they become something like a motorcycle mechanic and they were quite happy.
எவ்வளவு சீக்கிரம் நம்ம வந்து சட்ட ரீதியாக பள்ளிக்கூடத்தை விட்டு வெளியில் வர முடியுமோ அவ்வளோ சீக்கிரம் அவங்க பள்ளிக்கூடத்தை விட்டு வெளியில் வந்துட்டு ஒரு மோட்டார் மெக்கானிக்காக இருந்து அதில் அவங்க வாழ்க்கையை சந்தோஷமாக வாழ்ந்தான்.
So, in India now they want to stop child labor. Although you see young boys, 8-9 years old, working in a motor mechanic shop. So they're learning a career from a young age. But they say, no, they have to go to school. So they go to school and at the age 15 or something they come out and they become a motor mechanic anyway.
அப்படி அவன் பள்ளிக்கூடத்துக்கு போறான், வந்து ஒரு 10 வருஷம் படிக்கிறான், ஒரு 15 வயசுல அவன் என்ன வெளியில வந்துறான், வெளியில வந்து அவன் என்ன ஆகிற மாட்டர் மெக்கானிக் ஆகிறான்.
So many of the things which modern society promotes, actually Srila Prabhupada on the basis of Vedic knowledge was opposed to that.
நவீன சமுதாயத்துல மக்கள் எடுத்துரைக்கக்கூடிய பல விஷயங்களுக்கு ஸ்ரீல பிரபுபாதர் வேத அறிவை அடிப்படையா வச்சு எதிர்த்தார்.
But even many of our devotees, they didn't hear Prabhupada's message, it seems. They think, well, we have to send our children to school so they'll have a better opportunity. So they can get a job. But previously there was people didn't have jobs. Job means that you try and get some employment. But that's not fixed. The company might go bankrupt. Or they might just throw you out. Or you might jump from one company to another. It's just you're working and you're getting some money, that's all. But previously people, they wouldn't have a job as such, but they would be fixed in some kind of activity for life. Either as maybe as a teacher or a potter or a cloth merchant or whatever. But our devotees think that, even our devotees, because they have this, in many cases, this belief system is given to us so strongly, we have to, you have to live like this. There is no other way of living. We have to send our children to a good school where they can, then they can get a good education. Then they can get a good job. But these ideas are all coming from the whole idea that society must be organized the way that it is now. It is a soul-killing, cheating civilization in which success is based on how much money you can earn. And how much sense gratification you can have. That the goal of life is spiritual realization, to get free from birth and death. That is definitely not taught in the schools and colleges. So actually the whole worldview of modern civilization is simply cheating. Human life is meant for God realization. But this is killed starting from the kindergartens. People have no idea that Nati Vidu Swartha Gating Hi Vishnu. People do not know that the goal of life is Vishnu. Atato Brahma Jignyasa, having attained this human form of life, we should inquire into the actual reality. What is spiritual reality?
Atato Brahma Jignyasa.
But instead, we believe that this cheating society, this is very good. Cheating either directly or indirectly, openly or subtly. Just open cheating is just like advertising Pepsi Cola. It's got no value whatsoever, but it's promoted as if it has some value. So,
it's open cheating.
More subtle is like this. They state in the science textbooks that this is science, that there was a big bang and then everything came as, but people, they presume, oh, it's science, the scientists have discovered it. So the scientists have developed computers, and it's, for instance, and it's quite impressive. But it gives them no, we don't consider, it gives them no eligibility whatsoever to say how this universe is existing. I mean, if they could show in what terms of what they call scientifically, that would be one thing, but they only have theories. So we're just inured to cheating. That means we're just, we know it's bad, but we're used to it and we don't care anymore. Christians, they convert, they say, Hinduism, it's all useless. We'll give you some money and... They show pictures of Jesus standing with his leg, one leg folded over another, holding a flute. The whole essence of Christianity is this imagined idea that Jesus died on the cross to relieve us of all our sins. So the most popular picture in Christianity is of Jesus hanging on a cross. But in India, people are used to God's being happy and not being dominant, not being killed. So they show like that, Jesus with a flute and imitating Krishna. So it's just some kind of cheating techniques. But people don't care, they get converted. They don't care to think very deeply about what's going on here. So, as devotees, if we're going to be devotees, we should see with the eye of Shastra. Not with blind faith. Seeing with the eye of Shastra means to understand, first of all, to understand the message of Bhagavad Gita. It is not Krishna, he tells us that people have blind faith, but we should come above this. To attain Krishna, we have to understand properly Krishna, not just have some blind faith. Janma karma chame divyam evang yoveti tatvataha tyaktva dehang punar janma naiti mameti sorjana. We can attain Krishna if we understand in truth that Krishna's appearance and activities are transcendental. It is not just a question of belief, but it's a question of properly understanding. So for that we have to hear, we have to understand that we as conditioned souls, we get different bodies according to our previous karmic reactions. But that Krishna comes into this world of his own volition. His form is not a material form. So all these points we have to understand very carefully. Okay, I'll finish then.
Please
try to understand. As Srila Prabhupada always tried to make us understand. If we present, sometimes it's considered that, well, if we just present Krishna consciousness in a kind of sentimental way, without any deep philosophical understanding, then many more people may come. Which is possibly correct. But we can't expect that that even if many people come, unless they go deeply into this subject matter, unless they make a deep commitment to surrender to Krishna, they won't actually get the benefit of Krishna consciousness. Some benefit will be there, of course. But the point of tyaktva dehang punarjanma naiti mam eti sojana, of going back home, back to Godhead, to Krishna, not returning here, that will not happen. If we maintain attachments to cheating philosophies which are to facilitate our sense gratification, we cannot understand Krishna. So let us hear the message of Bhagavad Gita as it is, as Srila Prabhupada, the representative of Krishna, has presented it to us. And not be attached to a non-devotional, materialistic, cheating ideas based on blind faith. Hare Krishna. Yeah, any question, please? So there are two questions, that how can we identify if a boy is suitable for study or not? Well, we hear that shortly after the birth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was placed with, there were different things placed, a book, some gold, some different items. He chose the book, which indicated that he was a Brahminical disposition. After Arjuna had claimed Draupadi at the Swayamvar, they had to come back the next day for the official wedding. The Pandavas had to come back.
அர்ஜுன திரௌபதியை சுயம்பரத்துல வெற்றி கொண்ட பிறகு அதுக்கப்புறம் அடுத்த நாள் அவங்க வந்து அரண்மனைக்கு கல்யாணத்துக்காக வர வேண்டி இருந்தது பாண்டவர்கள் எல்லாரும்.
So the Pandavas were dressed as Brahmanas. But there was some doubt as to whether they were actually Brahmanas or maybe Kshatriyas. Because they walked and talked and wielded weapons like Kshatriyas. They had strongly developed bodies like Kshatriyas. So Maharaj Drupad, at the entrance to the palace, he set up two tables. One with things that Brahmins might like ladles for sacrifice, deer skins. And on the other side, armor and weapons and things that Kshatriyas would like. So when the Kshatriyas came in, they immediately said, "Oh, hey, look at these pretty good swords," and they're immediately attracted to that. So you can see it may not in younger boys that may take some expertise to understand that. At our pilot Gurukul near one of our pilot Gurukuls near Hyderabad, there's one boy there, age 14, his name is Vanshi Krishna. He's a nice, well-behaved boy. But not much interest in studies and not very good in studies. So he's learned, we took him out of studies. So he's learned how to make products from cow urine. And he does other things like going on the motorbike to the village to get supplies. So he's being trained as an adult. He doesn't have to, why push him into studies when he can do well in other things. And even if you say that, well, he may not stay there forever, by learning to make these cow products, he could be gainfully employed for the rest of his life. Now, the other objection is that, well, people say, well, there's no example of such a Gurukul, so we have to send our kids to the Karmi schools. Well, if there never will be an example if everyone says there's no example. You can do something about it. Make a school. Get together with other grihasthas and make a school. Gurukul. If you're serious about saving your child from what Srila Prabhupada called the slaughterhouse, namely these schools. if you do send your child to the slaughterhouse, I mean, it's figurative to call it modern school slaughterhouse because they destroy the spiritual propensities. So if you do feel constrained to send them there, you better give your children a very strong spiritual focus at home to counteract that as far as possible. I'll tell this family. I'm getting my throat. This. Okay, one more question. We're finished. Well, sorry. I saw here.
Maharaj, scientists say that the human race coming to being 5,000 years ago, but Shastra...
Which scientists? I don't think they say that. Christians say 6,000 years ago.
But Shastra has declared 5,000 years ago, Krishna...
No, but scientists don't say humans came into being 5,000 years ago. So the question doesn't have any validity. Okay, well, what's your question? Scientists don't... At school, they taught you that human beings came into being 5,000 years ago? I don't think so.
Maybe civilized people.
Maybe they say like that. Civilization began 5,000 years ago. But that's something different altogether. Okay, ask it.
நீங்க நேத்து சொன்னீங்க சிவபெருமான் விஷ்ணுடைய தூய பக்தர் அப்படின்னு நம்ம பாக்குறோம். அதே மாதிரிதான் அவர் தூய பக்தர் நம்ம பாக்குறோம். நாரதர், ராமானுஜர், மத்வாச்சாரியர், பிரபுபாதி இவங்களால தூய பக்தர்கள். இவங்க கிருஷ்ணனை பற்றி மற்றவர்களுக்கு பிரச்சாரம் பண்ணாங்க. அப்படி இருக்கிறப்ப சிவபெருமான் ஏன் நாயன்மார்கள் போன்றவர்களுக்கு பிரச்சாரம் பண்ணல அப்படின்னு கேட்டாங்க.
I'll just answer this briefly. The question is that if Shiva is a pure devotee, why doesn't he instruct those who worship him as supreme that he's not supreme, that they should worship Krishna? Well, he is the head of one of the four Vaishnava Sampradayas, the Rudra Sampradaya.
அவர் அந்த மாதிரி பிரச்சாரம் பண்றார். அவர் ஒரு வைஷ்ணவ சம்பிரதாயத்தின் தலைவராக இருக்கிறார், ருத்ர சம்பிரதாயத்திற்கு.
But he is also in charge of the mode of ignorance.
அதே சமயத்துல அவர்
தமகுண
தமகுணத்திற்கும் அதிபதியாக இருக்கிறார்.
So he oversees people who have a tamasic outlook.
யார் வந்து தாமசிகமான எண்ணம் கொண்டிருக்கிறாங்களோ அவங்களை அவர் மேற்பார்வையிடுறார்.
And although they are very difficult to purify, he gives them shelter. So that they can make some progress. So, like I said, I'll just answer briefly because it's quite late now. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is ki jai. Hare Krishna.